Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit's gonna be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, nbpp.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Africans and friends of Africa. On this day, the 25th of May, 2017, we celebrate the anniversary of the liberation of our continent from the yoke of colonialism and the unity that our founding fathers so dreamt about and fought for. Africa Day is also an opportunity for us to celebrate the significant progress made by the continent since the inception of the OAU 54 years ago, and the transformation to the African Union we are now today. After 54 years, the building of the unity of the African peoples is still a major task, while the challenges which Africans must take up collectively keep increasing. Most potential is in agriculture.
Okay.
Agriculture and IT, information technology. I think that Africa is the next frontier, and with more than 50% of the population being the youth, it is definitely the next frontier, and there are opportunities in just about every sector, but information technology and agriculture are leading the way. Peace and security and counterterrorism and healthcare, those are big areas.
My question to the African heads of states, what can we do to bring hope to your children who are in the diaspora? What can we do to create a pathway for those who are descendants of the formerly enslaved to say, you know what? If the going gets tough, I can always go home to Africa. To you, African leaders, you have the power of the pen. You have the voice to give to your parliaments, to create a pathway for your children, descendants of the formerly enslaved, to come home, to re-anchor them so they don't continue to feel like they're lost in the wilderness. We have that responsibility to pave that path. To our kings from the Oni of Ife, to the Osei Tutu of Ghana, to the King Zulutini of the Zulu people, to the King of Swaziland, all around the continent, the King of Morocco, please, I need you to take a moment and listen to the voices of your children in the diaspora. They have been calling to come home for over 400 years. Please answer their cries. They need to come home. And you can do it. To the African leaders, I say, please create a pathway. Because your children have been crying for too long. I did not mean to cry, but this is very upsetting. The children of Africa must go home. Let's make it happen. African heads of states, I'm begging you, please fix this. As a mother, as a grandmother, I feel hopeless. I feel the hopelessness of black people in this country. This has been going on for so long. The question then becomes, to what end? To what end? It doesn't seem to just come to an end. At what point are we going to get a break? At what point are black people going to cease to be endangered species, especially black men? And as I sit back and trying to figure out what would be the beginning, I can't help but find myself going back to our ancestors, going back to our current kings and queens, and saying, you know, a wrong was done centuries ago. It's been 400 years, and yet there's not a single way, a single pathway, a single country that you can say, if the children of Africa could just have hope. You see, for the African American, you can only trace them to the plantation. Their names take them to the plantation. It's almost as if they're just like a sheep that's all sails, but no anchor. Until they reconnect with their roots, until they know that I can wake up tomorrow and say, I want to go home to Africa, and they can go home. Why is it that we don't have that pathway? Why is it that we don't have that pathway? I woke up this morning, and that's one thing that was on my mind, to say, if only there could be a pathway where this sense of hopelessness that I feel and see that's palpable among black people in this country, and not only in this country, even in Europe, where black people are being hunted like wild animals, where that white man was comfortable, that white police officer was quite comfortable, looking so relaxed with his knee on George's neck, killing him slowly for 10 minutes, hands in his pocket like no big deal. I feel the hopelessness. I feel the exasperation. I feel the tiredness.
The Africa that they wanted. And the Africa, they were building was designed to underdevelop Africa so they can continue to exploit your Africa, our Africa. So until the children of Africa at home and abroad come together and do what is right for their Africa, they cannot be a sustainable Africa. So the onus is on us to build the Africa that we want. The challenge has always been, how do we go about it? And then the question to follow that is, why can't we do it? What has been holding us back? In my humble opinion, we are the most hardworking, most intelligent people I know on earth. And yet we seem to spend a lot of our intelligence and energy for other people's benefit. That we are forever workers. We don't own anything. The origin of humanity, the DNA that runs in our veins is the DNA of originality. We are the original human beings. We happen to come from a continent that has everything and anything the world can ever need. We, singularly as Africa, are creating trillions of jobs around the world from our natural resources that are being exploited. It may come as a surprise to you, my brothers and sisters, that with all the natural resources that Africa has, we do not dictate the price of not even one. How disgraceful is that? The question then becomes, how did we get here? And I think for us, in order to strategize on how we are going to take our Africa forward, how we are going to take our Africa to its rightful place on the world stage, how we are going to economically empower ourselves in order to regain our respect. My apologies, I should have said this off. My apologies. So in order for us to understand how we got here, in order for us to make a difference and strategize in the right spirit, in order to bring the sustainability that Africa needs, in order to regain our respect, we must understand first and foremost, how did we get here?
Yes.
Because how we got here was by design. We didn't just end up here. And allow me to just briefly talk about the situation in Africa prior to 1884. The Portuguese were the first ones to colonize Africa over 700 years ago. For 300 years we were colonized by the Portuguese, and like President of Uganda would like to put it, President Museveni. For 300 years the Portuguese colonized us and we did nothing. We were sleeping like grasshoppers. 300 years later, the other colonizers joined them, which was about 400 years ago. That's the British, the Germans, the French, the Spaniards, the Italians, the Belgians. For another 400 years, we still remain sleeping like grasshoppers. It's been 700 years and counting since the colonizers first came to Africa. It has taken us 700 years, my brothers and sisters, to wake up. As smart as we are, 1884, after they'd been coming to Africa and just taking whatever they could take, they started killing each other. They started fighting each other over how to distribute what that which they would have stolen from the Africans. The then Chancellor of Belgium, Bismarck, realizing that they were getting ready to have a European war on the African soil, he decided to call his sidekick, at that time the King of Belgium, Leopold, and said, let's come together and organize this colonizer. Let's meet in Berlin and organize ourselves so we can effectively loot from these people. Then they were calling us monkeys. Can I repeat that?
Yeah.
They called each other to come to Berlin, Germany, to organize themselves so they can effectively loot from these monkeys. So it is, they met in Berlin. History tells us they were sitting across from a big old map of Africa. While the Africans were sleeping, minding their own business on the continent, they were in Berlin strategizing on how to effectively loot from the Africans. They were also strategizing for yet another reason. They were strategizing to see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated and dominated. So they proceeded to chop up Africa into the tiny little countries that we see today, into economies that cannot survive on their own. Economies so small that it's almost ridiculous to call them countries. But it was all by design. History tells us that husband and wife were in bed in Zambia. When they woke up in the morning, the husband was in Zambia and the wife was in Malawi. That's how arbitrary the divisions were. So it wasn't bad enough that they divided us into these tiny little countries. They proceeded to assign these countries to colonize us with four different languages for maximum destruction. These were kingdoms prior to 1884. We were kingdoms. The countries that you see today in Africa did not exist prior to 1884. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They did not exist. They gave us this little country. The more powerful the kingdom was, the more countries that came out of it, and the more colonizers with different languages were assigned to them. I often say, since you're driving from Zambia, you're speaking English. Pretty soon you're in Angola, you're speaking Portuguese. Pretty soon you're in Equatorial Guinea, you're speaking Spanish. Then you're in DRC, you're speaking French. You're in Southern Cameroon, you're speaking English. Northern Cameroon, you're speaking French. Next you're in Nigeria, you're speaking English. And the story goes on. These were once same people. They said, give it a generation, they'll never know each other. And so it is, my brothers and sisters. 1884, November to February of 1885, the chopping up of your Africa to cause maximum destruction. The chopping up of Africa to see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated was done. Fast forward, 135 years later, and the bit goes on. Nothing has changed. You take a country like Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, 1.2 million people. It has the same sovereignty as China, with 1.3 billion people. But when they go to the world stage for the purposes of trading, they are equal. When they go to the world stage for the purposes of trading, China, with its 1.2 billion people, is equal to Eswatini with 1.2 million people. It's like taking a heavyweight boxer and putting them in the same ring with a lightweight wannabe boxer. And when the wannabe boxer loses, the world says, oh, what's wrong with you? Africa was put on the losing lane by the Berlin Conference. And until that situation is resolved, Africa is going nowhere. Economic growth is based on our ability to trade it, on our ability to negotiate on equal footing. Africa cannot be in equal footing with the rest of the world as long as we are negotiating as the individual African countries. So 1963, our Pan-African leaders realizing that the nature of Africa today, of the 55 African countries, is not sustainable. That for Africa to take its rightful place on the world stage, for Africa to regain its respect, for Africa to regain its economic power, Africa must negotiate as one continent, speaking with one voice. Sadly, When they went to Addis Ababa in 1963, they were divided. We had the Casablanca group, who were Ghana, Guinea, Mali, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. They wanted African Union now, and Africa for the Africans, at home and abroad. Unfortunately, of the 32 countries that participated, the rest of the countries were the Monrovia group, who were the nationalists. They said, let's go slow. So it is 56 years later, we're still going slow. The 55 African countries continue, exploitation of Africa continues, the campaign to paint us as diseased and dying, constantly at war with ourselves continues, all designed to see to it that an unstable, divided continent is a continent that can be exploited. It is all by design that they continue to loot what is rightfully yours. All is not lost. Last year, March in Kigali, the African heads of state finally got together and they said, enough is enough, the insanity of yesterday must come to an end. They signed what we are now calling the African Continental Free Trade Area. This is an agreement where the heads of state are saying Africa must negotiate and the bloc, speak with one voice, one continent, one Africa. 52 African heads of state signed on to that agreement. It needed 22 out of the 52 to go back to their countries, put it through the parliament, we call that ratification. We only needed 22 ratifications out of the 52 countries that signed the agreement. I have to tell you, I was in a meeting in July last year, and one gentleman representing some organization got up and spoke and said, this is never going to happen. These ratifications, they take years to accomplish. This is going to be a piece of paper in a drawer somewhere. You Africans will never come together and speak with one voice. July last year. Well, I want to let you know, guys, yes, the guy was right. Because the average ratification takes about 5 years. But did this. They signed the African Continental Free Trade Area in March of 2018. April of 2019, the 22nd ratification was deposited with the African Union. It's never happened before. It's a hero, but when there's a will, there's a way. Also in 2018, the African heads of state said for the African Continental Free Trade Area to succeed, the children of Africa must live and work where they desire. So they signed the protocol for the free movement of people. This is currently being ratified. In addition, they also say the air spaces for Africa must be opened up. For some of you who have traveled in Africa, to go from one part of Africa to the other, you have to go to Europe, only to come back down. Because the air spaces were limited, thanks to the Berlin Conference. So they also signed what we are calling the Single African Air Transport Market. Now we have close to 40 countries that have opened up their skies. The plan is to have all Africa to be open and free to travel as Africans. They also did one more thing, equally important. Up until now, most of the funding of the African Union was through donations, particularly from Europe. The leader said, this is insanity of the highest order. How can we push back on the hand that feeds us? We have got to be self-sustaining. They approved what they were calling the 0.2% levy. They are going to be charging each country that amount. As we speak, 26 countries are in the process of domesticating that levy. 16 countries have already domesticated it, have started collecting the funds, and have started depositing the funds with the African Union. Your Africa is on the move.
Amen.
All, All this happened in 1 year. 1 year. I'm underscoring this to show you the pace at which things are moving, the pace at which change is coming to your Africa. So now the same people who were questioning whether or not the African continental free trade area was going to become a reality, by December they were saying, oh my God, this is getting ready to happen. We had over 350 applications for embassies last year alone in Africa. Some countries opening multiple embassies. Why is that? They realize that when the African Continental Free Trade Area is in place, you are looking at an economy with $2.5 trillion. The largest economy in the world, and no country or continent comes even close. You are looking at a continent with everything and anything the world could ever need, natural resources, manpower.
Yes.
Africa is in a position that the larger nations, the United States, China, Europe, which they would be. And that's the reality. So what's happening? Everybody now is waking up. They're trying to figure out how to strategize and be in Africa and take advantage of what is getting ready to go on in your Africa. And guess who is not doing that? Guess who is still sleeping like grasshoppers? The children of Africa. You are. We are being told, do not go to Africa, you're going to get sick. They're being told, do not go to Africa, it's a civilized, uncivilized continent. Well, let me remind you about civilization. We black people are the only ones who have never exploited anybody. We have something to teach them about civilization. Who in their right mind is civilized to have done what they have done to us? So when they tell you your country, your continent is uncivilized, stop and think, look around you. Who really is uncivilized? So somehow we tend to believe what the lies that they are feeding us without question. You are from the wealthiest continent on earth. You are the inheritors of some of the most wealth the world has ever seen. In spite of all the exploitation of many centuries, guess what, my brothers and sisters? They've only tapped maybe 10% of Africa. Maybe.
Wow.
And every day we're discovering more and more natural resources. You wonder why there are all these conflicts in Africa. They are creating the conflict. So while the Africans are busy fighting, they are busy sampling the world. Have you ever flown low over the DRC? You're going to find tarmacs in the middle of jungle. You will see 747 flying in, picking up minerals and flying right out. And they want to talk to you about corrupt African leaders. I'm not saying let's not talk about corrupt African leaders. But they don't want to talk about that kind of corruption. Because they are the ones who are to blame. The reality, my brothers and sisters, is the Africa they are painting for you is far from the truth. There's need for you to look at your Africa with 2020 vision. Understand what is really going on in your Africa. February this year, the African leaders got together and passed a resolution, a decision addressing the issues of the children of Africa who have been lost in the wilderness for over 400 years. You see, Israel has called on its children, the Jewish diaspora, to come back home. A Jew may never need to set foot in Israel, but they know Israel is home. And that is what gives them the stability that they need, that reconnection with their roots, allows them to flourish wherever they are. The Indians have done the same thing. The Irish, the Chinese, the Mexicans, they all know where they come from, and they reconnect with their roots. It's only us black people who, for some reason, we are busy running away from our roots. And we wonder why we are like a ship with all sails and no anchor. We're like some trees, the wind blows this way, here we go. The wind blows that way, here we go.
Yes.
Because we are refusing to reconnect with our anchor, which is Africa. Until we reconnect with our anchor, until we are anchored, we will continue to be in the wilderness. That has got to change. But you must also realize, if in your set of mind, the shackles of the mind, it was also by design. During the Berlin Conference, they also instituted a policy of making black people believe that everything about them was bad and undesirable, and everything about them was better and more desirable. Have you ever wondered who came up with the idea of the color black and the color white? They take the color white, they assign everything beautiful and desirable with the color white. Jesus Christ is white, angels are white, angel food cake is white, you were white to go to wedding, you were white before christening, everything wonderful, new beginning is white. And then they take a race that's not even white and say, who cares, no white. So when they raise their children are being born and brought into this world, being told you represent white, and white is wonderful. They're better than everybody else. And then they took black color, assigned it with the devil, even though nobody has ever seen the devil, but in our heads, automatically the devil is black. Funerals, you wear black. Bank robbers wear black. I've never seen a bank robber with a white mask. The villains in movies are wearing black. Anybody committing a crime, they are wearing black. Therefore, food cake is black. And we, black mothers, we're doing our part to raise our children in our homes. We're telling them you're black and you're beautiful. But if they step outside the door, the subliminal messages, they are immense in subliminal messages, reminding them that that which you represent as a black person is bad and undesirable. How can that child grow up feeling superior? How can that child grow up feeling equal to others? And then they stop there. Only black and only white. There were never any attributes associated with brown people. Because it wasn't about brown people. It was about seeing to it that Africa and their children are forever defeated and dominated. We're raising our children knowing they are being reminded every day that you are the underdog of the earth. And the white kids are being raised, being told, you're superior. And that's a message that percolated throughout the world. Whenever you see black people, they are inferior. How do we change that? How do we get out of that? We have never questioned. In my case, I can speak to it. The white people didn't come to Zimbabwe until 1896. The word black did not exist in our language. When I came to this country, I was African. I had to learn being called black because I wondered why I'm being called black. But we have never questioned it. Why haven't we? You're black, because everything about you is bad and undesirable. Why haven't you questioned it, my brother? That's our reality. The shackles of the mind. Until we realize we are suffering from that affliction. Until we have that serious conversation with the image in the mirror. Nothing is going to change our circumstances. So the realization and acceptance of our circumstances, and that we need to wake up from the slumber that we have been in, it's about time that we turn the corner, because 400 years is too long. What our leaders now have done, just as I was coming here, I was talking over here, I got a phone call from one of the leaders, the advisors to what we are calling the Afro champions. the African leaders are very clear about one thing, that the new phase that we are entering in as Africa speaking with one voice, it is an era that we must remind ourselves that Africa is for the Africans at home and abroad, plain and simple. They're very clear about one thing, that you don't go to China and find black people in front of the line. You don't go to Mexico and find black people in front of the line. You don't go to Europe and find black people in front of the line. Why must you go to Africa and find others in front of the line? So yes, I was told, Ambassador, the children of Africa must come home. They must come home and take what belongs to them. They're simply saying, no more shall you go home and look forward to opening a gas station, because you know what? You must go for the old bridge, because you can. If you choose not to work that old bridge, then you hire shell. Let shell work for you. They have put it very simply to me. The Afro champions are the billionaires and millionaires of Africa. They have gone to the African Union and said, we want to work with you to implement Africa's development agenda for the first time. This has never been done. You see, brothers and sisters, these cabs to Cairo, Cape Town, South Africa, to Cairo, high-speed rail is going to be built. The question is, who's going to build it? The interstate connecting Accra to Djibouti is going to be built. The question is, who's going to build? You see, we're no longer talking about high-speed railway in South Africa only. No. We're talking about development of our continent. This is a conversation that has never happened before. May 2nd, at midnight this year, the African Continental Free Trade Area was in full force. July 7th this year, official launch of the African Continental Free Trade Area is going to occur. 6 to 12 months later, trading as Africa, trading as one block is going to begin. The question is, are you going to be in the game? And this is where we come from. Let me give you a statistic that will surprise you. The state of Ohio is getting $7 billion from Egypt for wheat. And the Union, the state of Ohio is getting $7 billion from Egypt for wheat. That's just one. That's before May. Before, right? Africa with 65% of the arable land in the world is important to us. Simply because the children of Africa are missing in Africa. They said, Ambassador, can the diaspora not come together and invest in wheat farming and grow wheat to feed the continent? Those who want to choose to grow rice to feed the continent? The land is there. All we got to do is come together. Your continent, most of the trade is, 95% of trade in Africa is maritime. Not a single vessel is owned by a black person. Not one. Can we not come together and form a fleet of ships? Africa needs the African Stock Exchange. It's ready. Now we're talking about the African Continental Free Trade Area. We need an African Stock Exchange, and those who can start the African Stock Exchange are in this room. African Union is saying their opportunities galore, and all they want is to have a representative group of African diaspora on the table with the Afro champions. And those two groups are the first ones to get the contract. And anybody outside the African diaspora and the brothers and sisters of the continent can can only get to those contracts if the diaspora and the Afro champions do not want them. This is how far they have broken it down. So they said, Ambassador, organize the African diaspora. We want to be able to inform them of the changes that are happening in Africa. They've got to be part of what is going on. They're saying, we want you to invest in Africa and come back to America and play golf just like they do. Now, if you got a problem with that, then fine. Take it your way. So I was sitting here, my brothers and sisters. I was sitting here. I was sent here to share with you about the good news that is going on in your Africa. Opportunities like you have never seen before. I've been given the responsibility to speak and share with every African diaspora that needs to know. That by the time I finish telling everybody, if you all don't go home and take what is rightfully yours, my job is done. I am going to keep talking until everybody that needs to know has heard. And if I don't succeed at taking you guys home, if I don't succeed in letting you understand what is getting ready to happen, I want the record to show that it's not because I did not try. The ball is in your court. There's a lot that is going on in your continent. Your African leaders want you to be a part of it. I'm sitting here, I was sent here to be a facilitator of anything that you want to do in Africa. They have simplified it to a very simple non-stop. The commissioner who I left in Washington is running around like a chicken without a head, making sure that the groundwork that needs to be done to make the process of integration as seamless as possible, to make the process of integrating the children of Africa as seamless as possible. Everybody is working hard to see to it that the development of Africa is 100% in the hands of the children of Africa. That is the only way we can have sustainable development. The only question I have for you is, your mother is calling, Mother Africa. The heads of society have taken from their part. The environment is ready for serious investment. I am not talking pocket change. I am talking an ability to build old wealth that your own children, grandchildren, can sit back and say, this is old. Because grandpa, grandma invested in Africa. There are questions that arise to say, well, what about how do we get our money out? Is the money safe? I need you to hear me very clearly here. When I say the diaspora are going to be on the same table with our champions to dictate the way forward, you get to decide how you want your money. Because you're going to be on the table to talk about how things are going to be done. We have a country like Mauritius, a lot of people keep their money in Mauritius. It's a very safe country, but it's also part of Africa. So the issue of what's going to happen to my money is up to you. Because you will be setting the agenda. It's no longer an agenda that you say somebody else says. We have Raila Odinga, the former Prime Minister of Kenya. Is now over infrastructure and development in Africa. Between him and the Commissioner for Trade and Investment, that's your one-stop shop. Anything you need can be communicated and worked out and approved within this team. Because the agenda for the development of Africa is going to be set from the African Union. It cannot become any simpler. I'm here to say, what we need is a database so we can continue to communicate, educate each other, and inform each other about the opportunities that are getting ready to happen in Africa. I also want some of you to be on the table The commissioner has asked me to identify people who can be representatives, who can be on the table and be part of the conversation about how to move our Africa forward. Are you with me?
Yes.
In a nutshell, this is where we are. My role is to facilitate and open doors. Like I say, Mother Africa is calling. I sure hope that she will answer the call. Thank you.
France, c'est fort.
the Congo Democratic Republic. We now receive a representative from Mali.
We are here today to celebrate the Day of Africa.
In 6 years, 59 years now, Africa is independent.
And we wish our independence to the full independence.
Mali is the one of the country, the big empire like South Africa.
We thank the EFF for the organize this meeting and
the South African, we thank everyone to be here today.
And Mali is supporting the freedom of Africa, not only in one part, in all of Africa.
Mali today, we are one of the first who tell
French people to go out from Mali.
We are sick and tired. We need the people, we need our partnership with any
country in the world. Thank you everyone, thank you Julius Malema to organize, to give us today this opportunity to tell everybody thank you. Thanks South Africa, thank you Mandela.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we are going to call upon the Ambazonia Southern Cameroon's representative, Daphne Yerima.
Thank you very much. Viva EFF, viva! Viva the Commander-in-Chief, viva! Viva the spirit of Tata Nelson Mandela, viva! Viva the spirit of Robert Sibogwe, viva! Viva the spirit of Solomon Matlongu, viva! Viva the spirit of Steve Biko, viva! Viva the spirit of Mama Winnie Mandela, viva! Viva the spirit of Thomas Sankara, viva! Viva the spirit of Kwame Nkrumah, viva! Viva the spirit of Chris Hani, viva! Viva for viva Africa for Africans, viva! Viva Ambazonia, viva! Fancy corruption, fancy! Fancy colonial dictatorial regimes, fancy! Fancy to Western imperialism, fancy! My dear comrades, on behalf of the Ambazonian people, I want to thank the leadership of EFF, the Commander-in-Chief, the Commissars, and fellow fighters for giving Ambazonia this opportunity to tell France to back out of Africa. I'm here today in exile, standing for the people of Ambazonia, a land annexed, colonized, and occupied by La Republique du Cameroon. In the 50s, Ambazonia was far ahead of our present colonizers in terms of statecraft, public institutions, governance, democracy, human rights, law and order. We lived in a democratic society with unimpeded free trade ideas. Ambazonia is a country with our own international borders between the Republic of Cameroon, Nigeria, and Equatorial Guinea. Activists across Africa has watched in amazement as the EFF, in its short existence, have successfully championed the cause of the African people and has spoken severally about the plight of the Ambazonian people. Just like the EFF, Ambazonia is fighting French imperialism in West Africa. Yes, the same French imperialism or imperialist that murdered the South African anti-apartheid giant Dulcie September in Paris in 1988 after she received documents implicating France in the nuclear power program of the apartheid regime. After murdering the leaders of the independence movement next door in La Republique du Cameroun, France imposed new colonial regime there, a despotic society ruled by horse whip, a despotism that soon became an object of reverence and worship in that country. We fell prey to such an atrocious dispensation which has nothing to offer except blood, tears, poverty, and a wretched and dehumanized existence. We have never had any ties with France. In the 1960s, France used their regime in Cameroon to annex Ambazonia. For many years, there have been waves of protest over the second-class status that is forced on our people. We wrote to the United Nations and to the international community, petitions upon petitions, about the plight of the Ambazonian people, and they gave us a deaf ear. But there comes a time when the people are bound by faith, history, and the action of the international community to fully take responsibility on their own destiny and decide whether to be prisoners of their past strategy or be architects of their own future as human beings living in freedom and dignity. It is a new day. And like the EFF, a new crop of Ambazonian activists, the Never Again generation, are standing up against French imperialism and defending our neighborhoods, one block at a time, in this senseless war declared on us by the new colonial regime of La République du Cameroun. Our liberation struggle has been on for over 60 years, but it's reached its peak in 2016 when the new colonial regime in Cameroon imposed a French colonial legal and educational system on our land. Activists called for general strike, but the regime responded by declaring war on our people. As I speak, millions of our people have been forced to walk away from everything they hold dear to flee for their lives, as the Cameroon army has embarked on a war of extermination on our communities. A genocide is going on right now in Ambazonia. On May 18, 2018, the Center for Human Rights and Democracy in Africa reported that since 2016, the Cameroon military has burned more than 60 Ambazonian villages to the ground, and in some cases, elderly people who could not flee before the soldiers came were burnt alive in their homes. More than 40,000 of our people have been executed, over 3 million are internally displaced, and over 1 million are living as refugees in Ghana, Nigeria, the Mexican border, here in South Africa, and other countries around the world. Today, the 25th of May, 2022, will make 1,601 days since the Cameroon regime, with the help of the Nigerian government, abducted our leader, Seseko Julius Ayub Tade, and 11 of his top aides at a meeting in Abuja, Nigeria. It took over 120 days when they were taken into custody for them to have access to a lawyer or being brought before a judge or charged with any crime. They were tried in a military tribunal for fighting for the basic rights of the Ambazonian people and sentenced to life. The rape of women and girls, the killing of pregnant women, the killings of children in school, the execution of our brothers buried in mass graves, the destruction of the crops of our people to impose hunger on them, the spreading of STDs and other infectious diseases is the signature of the French Cameroon regime's bloodthirsty army in our communities since 2017. The French Cameroon's military scorched-earth policy, raping of school children and women, are architect in boardrooms and political offices in France, and as part of their new colonial project in Ambazonia and 14 other so-called French African states, where France are after nothing else but our natural resources. We demand France to leave Ambazonia and leave Africa immediately. Ambazonia is not part of the French sphere of influence in Africa. We demand that France ends its assistance to French Cameroon in that country's colonization of Ambazonia, and that country's war of genocide in Ambazonia. Our comrades from Mali are here today. They have similar cries, And these cries are similar across the so-called 14 Francophonia or French African states and Amazonia. Mali was one of the 64 countries in the United Nations out of the 97 who voted for the independence of Amazonia on the 21st of April 1961. Amazonians are grateful to EFF and to you, comrades of Mali, and will continue to join you to fight neocolonialism against Africa and make sure that Africa leaves the shore, that France leaves the shores of Africa. I want to use this opportunity to make this appeal to EFF and all African progressive movements to join hands with us to fight French repression, killings, lootings, and plunder of our resources. Africa deserves better, and we can build the Africa our forefathers dreamed by working in solidarity together. NATO stood in solidarity for Ukraine. As Africans, we must stand in solidarity for all Africans. Mama Africa is pregnant to deliver another child, Amazonia, on Africa's west coast. And she needs the support of the brothers of the EFF that was bettered in Marikana. We count on your support, fighters and comrades. And as the government of the United States has given temporary protection status to Amazonians who fled the genocidal war into the United States, let us use this opportunity to call on the South African government and governments in Africa that as Africans in solidarity, may your governments give protection to Amazonians fleeing the genocidal war and even do better by speaking up against the human rights atrocities of the Cameroon's regime and support the calls for a negotiated settlement of the senseless, inhumane war on the people of Amazonia. As comrades and fighters for a free and developed Africa, we must always note that Africa belongs to Africans. And everything underneath our feet is owned by Africans to develop Africa. It is time we take back Africa and kick France away from Africa and enjoy the milk that flows from Mama Africa. That time is now. Long live Africa. Long live EFF. God bless the Federal Republic of Amazonia. And as I was coming here, the people of Amazonia had a gift for the Commander-in-Chief,
Comrade Julius Malema.
He's been a fighter. So we are giving him the flag of Amazonia, a small symbol that we are standing and fighting together for the liberation of Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amazonia. We now call upon the last African country, the DRC, Masamba Clovis.
Let's come forward. Thank you.
Good morning, fighters.
I'm very, very happy to be
among the fighters that are claiming the ideology of Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema. As a person from DRC, I'm here with tears in my eyes. Fighters, if you can know what is happening in DRC, it's shameful. It's not a secret that all countries in Africa that speak French, the administration is very, very wrong because of the wrong politics of France. I'm coming from the South Kivu in the east of DRC. What's happening there? There is killings of maybe 5,000 people a day. And no one is speaking about what is happening in that party. Why I'm here to join the ideology of Julius Malema as Commander-in-Chief? In 1994, the French army were deployed in Rwanda. They make sure the genocide in Rwanda happened under their watch.
they support it within everything that they could do,
and that thing caused the genocide, and the people flew from Rwanda to DRC
because of the French.
100% as a Congolese
and a one from Congo DRC in East, where the war is happening day and night,
we are there to support the ideology of Commander-in-Chief
and to say, enough is enough with the French people.
They must vacate in our continent.
Viva Julius Malema! Viva EFF!
Viva all countries in Africa!
Thank you very much, fighters.
Thank you very much. Our brother from the DRC, now we're going to call upon the Treasurer General to introduce the leadership. TG, Umphile Maoto. Mandla! Mandla! Down with France, down! Down with France, FIFA, down! Forward to one United Africa, forward! Forward to one African president, forward! Aihole, EFF, aihole! Thank you very much, National Chair. Merikwakako Munyani is just to introduce the leadership we have today. Our former TG and the national spokesperson, Commissar Liane Matei. She's amongst us. Ubizimo Haralu Namo Fighters. And then we'll call the national spokesperson, Commissar Snao Tambo.
Amanja!
Awe, Joe!
Panty!
Thank you, Commissar. We'll call the head of presidency, Commissar Vuyani Phambo. I don't know if he's around. If he's not, Otemo Harale Namo. Let's also call the former national chairperson, our very advocate, Commissar Dalim Pofu.
Manza! Panty, France, Panty! Panty, Macron, Panty! Africa, we are one! Africa, we are one!
Africa,
we are one!
Thank you, advocate. And then I'll turn over to the official. I would have started with our Deputy Secretary General, but she's not here with us today. She's leading a march in the Eastern Cape against GBVF. So we salute Commissar Pokima Ilula in Eastern Cape. Then I will call the Secretary General of the EFF, Commissar Marshall Dlamini.
Amanda, down with imperialism town. Down with imperialism town. Down with French imperialism town. Amanda!
Amanda! Amanda!
Don't leave the Commander-in-Chief, don't leave! Don't leave the Commander-in-Chief, don't leave!
Don't leave the Commander-in-Chief, don't leave!
Amanda!
Raleboha, Secretary General Mukwaledi Warena. Let's now go to presidency. So we'll call upon our Deputy President, Commissar Nyeko Sibambo.
Amanda!
Pansy imperialism, Pansy!
Long live the fighting spirit of Marcus Garvey, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Emperor Haile Selassie, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Kwame Nkrumah, long live! Long live the fighting spirit of Mandela, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Sokou Touré, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Thomas Sankara, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Patrice Lumumba, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Thomas Kayanda, long live!
Long live the fighting spirit of Julius Nyerere, long live!
Viva one Africa, viva!
Forward to continental unity, forward!
Amanda! Oh,
thank you very much, Treasurer General Umphile Maoto,
for introducing the leadership that is here. want to acknowledge the guests that came here to give the message of support from different countries. And note specifically that we have got delegation from Mali, which has forcefully declared its independence from the French imperialism. My task today is very simple. I'm here to introduce a revolutionary. I'm here to introduce a leader at the forefront of the anti-colonial, anti-neocolonial struggles in the African continent. I'm here to introduce a leader whom can count in the same lines as all the revolutionaries that we have saluted today. I'm here to introduce the leader of the African Revolution, the Commander-in-Chief and President of the EFF. Come back, President. Amanda! Amanda! Viva, EFF, viva! We're waiting for these people to come out. Because we're not going to read this memorandum without these imperialists and murderers come outside. And if they don't come outside, we're not going to live here until they come outside. So they must stop wasting our time. We're not here to play games here. If they think we're part of the nonsense they've been doing in West Africa, it stops here. We're not West Africa. And we're not going to allow that nonsense. We come here peacefully. And we want the France embassy to act peacefully and not provoke us. So they must come outside and receive the memorandum. Otherwise, we are not going to start. Otherwise, we are not going to live here. And by not living here, they will not live here. We are going to divide ourselves. Others will go and occupy the main road there. And others will occupy the gate of France Embassy. So stop wasting time. Call that comrade who was singing here. Come and sing here until these fools have come out. Otherwise, we are not going anywhere. And you might force us to reinforce now. Because we might have to call more people to come here. We are not all here. The French white supremacists are not going to dictate to us on how we must protest here in South Africa. No one is going to fight you. No one is going to beat you. You have killed a lot of people in Africa. Why are you scared today to come out and face Africans? Let's sing fighters. We are not going anywhere.
Unga kali guzolonga, unga kali guzolonga. Negotiate for long because now we'll have to call the trucks to block the road. There are police here. Why are you scared? The police are here to protect you. Why are you scared? Scared of what? You don't even trust the South African police. fighters at the back there. Please go and sit in the middle of that road at the back. Sit in the middle there. Fighters at the back, lock the road at the back there. Close that road. No car from both sides must pass. Close the road. Wait. Fighters. Fighters at the back, block the road. Comrades, let's do that in a disciplined manner. Let's block the road. No car moves. We must look for all the entrances of the French embassy. No car goes in, no car goes outside. We're going to be with them here the whole day today. We're together. We came here peacefully and France thinks it can dictate to us on how we must protest. It's not going to happen that. We're not the type that gets undermined. High discipline, fighters, high discipline. High discipline. Check the agent provocateurs, please. The command will be issued from here. Don't do anything we didn't say you must do. Please, let's be disciplined. Anyone who throws things standing next to you, call them to order. Maximum discipline, fighters. We're not going to read a memorandum with the French embassy being inside the yard. They must come outside. We have no problem. We're not going anywhere. We're very patient. Very. We'll sleep together here today.
Africa. Jojo Malema,
the Belgian colonizers, the Spanish colonizers, and all the French colonizers continue to brutally exploit, oppress, and micromanage all countries they colonized many decades ago. French colonialism in the African continent continues to be the most brutal, cruel, and devilish form of colonialism in the African continent. When countries that were under French colonial rule declared political independence, the government of France destroyed and damaged all the infrastructure and the systems that were developed through African resources and labor power, because they wanted to retain total control of all the former colonies. The French colonial governments destroyed everything they were unable to loot back to their country after independence. The French colonialists banned food, killed cows, and destroyed buildings and books. The former colonies of the French regime, such as Gabon, Mali, Niger, Senegal, Benin, Togo, Burkina Faso, Congo Brazzaville, Ivory Coast, Chad, Central African Republic, Equatorial Guinea, Cameroon, and Guinea-Bissau continue to use the franc currency, and their monetary policy are dictated by the French Central Bank. France continue to maintain strong and intimidating military bases in almost all African countries they have colonial control over. African countries that were under French colonial rule are forced to pay colonial taxes and currently paying more than $500 billion to the French treasury every year. And that is separate from the many natural resources French companies continue to loot from the African continent. The colonial pact that France forced all its former colonies to enter into includes the following: paying for the infrastructure France built during colonization, keeping 50% of their foreign reserves in the French treasury. 14 African countries have been doing this for years. Interestingly, these countries can only access 15% of their reserves each year. If they need more, they have to borrow it from France. France has the first right to purchase any natural resources discovered. French companies have the first right to choose on all government procurement tenders. Senior military officers are trained in France. France has the right to deploy its military in the African countries. Countries have to make French the official language and the education language, using the French colonial currency. Former colonies have to send a reserve report to France. Ex colonies cannot enter into military alliances with other countries without approval from France. Ex colonies are required to join forces with France during war or global crisis. The French government and regime have played a direct role in the coup d'etat and illegal and unlawful overthrow of many governments in the African continent. France is also responsible for the assassination of many prominent leaders in the African continent. Additionally, France continues to support and anchor nonsensical governments that have no respect for African people. This includes the following: Burkina Faso, which led to the assassination of Thomas Sankara; Guinea; Central African Republic; Chad. Mali's instability has always been sponsored by France. Ivory Coast, illegal arrest of leaders and instability sponsored by France. The continued rulership of Paul Biya in Cameroon is financed and maintained by France. The permanent and perpetual destabilization of the Democratic Republic of Congo is aided by the French government. We commend and appreciate the work of revolutionary anti-colonial forces that are beginning to undermine French colonialism, particularly in Mali, and call on all neo-colonized people under the so-called Francophone to reject French colonial rulership and control. We commend the many anti-colonial and pan-Africanist forces in all the African countries and reiterate our call for the unity of the African continent. Despite the micromanagement of the former colonies, the French government continuously uses its resources to corruptly influence the internal processes of electoral outcomes of African continental organizations such as the African Union and the Pan-African Parliament. France continues to identify puppets in different African countries and fill them as candidates for important and strategic positions in different continental multilateral organizations. The economic freedom fighters, therefore, stand here in front of the embassy of the slave traders, the colonialists, the warmongers, and the imperialists to make the following demand. France must grant full independence to all African countries and allow them to determine their own currencies, monetary policies, and economic direction. France must stop all colonial taxes because it is the wealth of the African continent, the blood and sweat of Africans that build all infrastructure which African countries are forced to pay for many decades after the so-called independence. France must immediately remove all its military bases, which is currently stationed in Africa, which includes, but is not limited to, military bases, French soldiers, French aid through arms, and any presence of French influence in the armies or militia groups in Africa. France must desist from interfering in the economic affairs of African countries through monetary policy, and the use of their currency in West Africa must gradually decrease towards establishing currency systems determined by Africans themselves. France must return all mineral and fiscal reserves held by the French treasury to African nations and any of their former colonies. France must pay reparations to all of its former colonies, particularly the architect of the greatest slave rebellion known to humanity, Haiti. Haiti has had its development reduced by racist global wealth order, which feared African independence and the first black-led state. The removal of French as an official language in Africa in favor of continental reconstruction of African identity, away from imposition of white civilization standards and not as a measure of humanity. France must stop its sponsorship of divisions that occur in Africa's continental multilateral institutions, particularly the Pan-African Parliament and the African Union. These demands are made to the government of France and sent to all colonial and neo-colonial forces in the African continent, including the United Kingdom, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Belgium, Germany, and the United States of America. All forms and manifestations of colonialism in the African continent must be dismantled. It is our obligation as a generation to work fearlessly to dismantle colonial and neo-colonial rule. The EFF will do everything in its power to destabilize all forms of colonialism in the African continent and will play an unapologetic and leading role in the dismantling of all remnants of colonialism and colonial rule in the African continent. We stand on the shoulders of great anti-colonialist pan-Africanists such as Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Touré, Emperor Haile Selassie, Mandela, Thomas Sankara, and many others. The EFF expects a response to all these demands within 14 working days. If there is no believable and practical response within the 14 days, we will, as the leadership of the EFF, outline a clear and practical program on how we will undermine and counter the French continued colonialism of the African continent. I thank you. Amanda! Amanda! Comrades, we are here to hand over this memorandum to the embassy of France, which must be taken directly to the government of France. We now call the representatives of the embassy to come and sign the memorandum and acknowledge the receipt of the memorandum. Let's give the ambassador an opportunity to acknowledge the receipt of your memorandum. Thank you.
Thank you very much and good day to everyone. I want to say that we respect the EFF as a political movement. Also, I think you are very good organizers. You came to see us today. So it was normal to come out and to receive your memorandum. We cannot sign the memorandum because it's your memorandum, but we will convey the memorandum to Paris. And also, I want to say an important message, that we have our disagreement, okay? And today, France is a partner with Africa, and we are friends of the African nation. Thank you very much.
Man down! Down with France, down! Down with the imperialist France, down! Down with the imperialist America, down! Down with the imperialist Spain, down! Down with the imperialist Belgium, down! Down with the imperialist Italy, down! Man down! Down with the colonizer Britain, down! Down with the colonizer Britain, down! So fighters, when we say we don't want France in Africa, it doesn't mean we want Britain in Africa. It doesn't mean we want Spain in Africa. It doesn't mean we want Italy in Africa. They must all follow each other with their tail in between their legs, leaving our continent of Africa. Because Africa belongs to Africa. So fighters, you must not be shaken. You say today we just undermined a white supremacy. This is the ambassador who was refusing to get out and said the protocol of France doesn't allow him to get out. I had to leave the truck to go and fetch him. This is not France, come here. This is Africa. You will do what the Africans are doing. So, comrades, we must continue to fight for the unity of our continent. We must never be divided. We must never allow France to divide us. We must never allow Britain to divide us. We must be one thing against the colonizers and the imperialists. When you see an African, whether he's speaking French or speaking English, you must know that we borrowed colonial language so that we can hear each other, because they destroyed our own languages. We must build our own continental language so that when we speak to each other, we don't have to use their colonial language. Swahili is one such example that is spoken in many other countries. When we say, let's make Swahili one language, comrades in Nigeria say, no, our language is spoken by more people. Because we are men, we say, no, it's spoken by more people, but in one country. Swahili might be spoken by fewer than your people, but it's spoken in different countries. Therefore, it is the basis within which we can start to build a continental language. Once we have a continental language, we can communicate without imperialists hearing us. That is the beginning of the unity of Africa, which is a threat to France and Britain. First, we must make sure that the resources and the land of Africa is returned into the hands of Africans. Because that's what they want here in Africa. They don't want us, but they want our resources. They say we are poor. How can we be poor when we come from a rich continent of Africa where all of them have moved into? We never moved to their country. They moved to us because we've got what they don't have, and that is the richness. And they are fighting for our resources. We need the unity of Africa to defeat the French currency, to defeat the American currency, build a strong currency of Africa based on gold and diamond and platinum and all the resources of Africa, both natural and mineral resources of our beautiful continent. There is no room in South Africa and the whole of African continent for xenophobia. Anyone who preaches xenophobia is a spy of the French embassy and the British embassy. They are working for foreign agents to divide the people of Africa. When you see a fellow African, you must see yourself. And in that way, we will unite and defeat colonialism and imperialism. We must also defeat capitalism. That's why it's important to identify progressive organizations in Africa that are fighting for socialism. Because there are a lot of people who say they are fighting for freedom in other African countries, but they are sponsored by the French and the British. We don't take money of the French. We don't take money of the British. We don't take any foreign money, but African money we take, because it's our money. It's not a foreign money. Africa is one country, and therefore we must always treat each other like that. Fighters, what you did today in solidarity with the people of Chad, with the people of Mali, with the people of trans countries, which are still exploit Western African countries that are exploited by France, is highly appreciated. You are here today to make history. Some fool can say to you, why are you marching against France? You have nothing to do with France. We have everything to do with France. because France is at the center of the division of the African continent and the exploitation of the resources of Africa. That's why we are here. The pain of Western Africa is a pain of Southern Africa. We are not free until those 12 countries reclaim their reserve banks and run their own currency as independent countries. Then we will be free. What type of independence is this? Where they say you are independent, but you don't have your reserve bank. But for every reserve, you must pay 50% to France. And you can only borrow 15%. You can only take 15% more than that. You must go and beg for your own money to be released in France. That's what France is doing to African people. That barbarism must be stopped. And it can be stopped by the unity of Africa. The Mali comrades, when they fight there and demand France to leave, the people of South Africa should join the people of Mali and drag France out of Mali. So fighters, we thank you for your discipline. We thank you for your dedication. We thank the leadership of Tshwane that in the last two occasions, you have always come to the party and you never disappointed. Let's continue to build an organization in Tshwane, door to door, house by house, street by street, factory by factory, school by school, university by university. There should not be any corner in Tshwane without a member of the EFF, because every black person belongs to the EFF except Cyril Ramaphosa. Our membership can be given to every black person except Cyril, because Cyril is not black, he is non-white. There is a difference between being black and being non-white. The workers are in Marikana, are at the union building, demanding that the president must come and address them. They've got problems with their employer. If they had a reasonable president, he would have came out and accepted the memorandum of the workers. But because he's non-white, like these whites were refusing to come out, the big nose is refusing to come out of the union building to come and accept the memorandum of the workers. We are saying to those workers at the union building, you must not be discouraged. You must continue to fight until the demands of the workers are met. We are with you and we support the struggles of the workers and the working class all over. We want to say to SAFTU, we are highly disappointed with the behavior we saw at the SAFTU conference, where leaders are prepared to kill each other and forget the pride of the workers. Leaders must always put the interest of the workers first before their own interests and egos. We hope Bavi and Advin Jim will put their egos aside and come together to build that union which gave some hope to the workers. Today, instead of inspiring hope, leaders are fighting among themselves because they want to show who is more powerful than the other. That is not the type of leadership we want in the EFF and in the Progressive Union. We want focused leadership that protects the rights of workers. Why is the president of South Africa not declaring GBV a national disaster? Because women are being killed, and we go on daily basis. There is a report of a missing child. There is a report of a missing woman. Every day in South Africa, women are being raped, women are being killed. Why can't Ramaphosa us in the form of police, and if the needs be, including the army. That is not going to conduct random roadblocks and search everywhere. Where we find women, they will have to assure us that they know the bastard they are driving with of a driver. If a woman shows a sign of being intimidated, an alternative transport must be organized by police, because it means there is something wrong in that car. Our women need a special attention because war has been declared on them. And those who have declared war on women, they must meet the might of the state. A real policeman is the one that protects. A real policeman is the one that serves. A real policeman is the one who's prepared to sacrifice his life for the safety of the people of South Africa. That's why you took an oath to defend and serve the people of South Africa. Not my police, Amotswane. People of Texas are killing each other here like flies. Mami Lodi, Soshangumve, Wabulaiwamo, police have accepted threats and they are unable to act on well-known criminals. That's why today, Itozini Yaketaula, we call upon our policemen and women to self introspect and check if what they are doing is in line with what they were taught at the college. This one of Umtata kills a woman because he's got a connection with the police, because he's got the connection with the speaker of Oyarsambo municipality, because he sits in a caucus of Oscar Mabuyani. He's not arrested till today because he's got political connection. What type of rule of law is that? That I must know a politician. As long as I drive a politician, as long as I give money to Osama Buyan's faction in Eastern Cape, I can kill with impunity. No one can do anything to me. That is not what Subukwe died for. That is not what Steve Biko died for. They died for all of us to be subjected to the rule of law. What a shame that a woman with overwhelming evidence that shot with 7 bullets is almost now a month or so not a single person has been arrested. Comrades, we call upon our police, please don't listen to politicians. Listen to the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Don't follow the law. We don't want you to do a favor to anyone. Please follow the law. We know you are not paid properly. We know the temptation is there to take bribes. But listen to your conscience. Follow your conscience. How do you sleep at night knowing that a woman was killed with 9 bullets? And you know the person who killed a woman. And you are a man in uniform. You are a woman in uniform. You don't take action against such a person. We need our women safe in South Africa. And both men and the police can make sure that women of South Africa feel safe again. When a woman says to you, we are going to a prayer meeting at 6 pray peace. Because today, a rebel